As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Buffalo Beat. My name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you for joining me. This is the schedule release episode. We are recording this about a half an hour after the 17-game slate was announced by the NFL. A lot of things were leaking in ahead of time, so I'm sure a few of you kind of knew where things were headed, just because, you know, that's what kind of happens on schedule day. But there's a lot to dive into from a Bills perspective. Obviously, we knew who they would be playing, and that's, like, not a secret whatsoever when it comes to schedule day. But we now know the order, and sometimes the sequencing of the schedule can dictate some of how the season goes. And you can look to specific potential rough patches, or maybe areas where they should kind of jump ahead. So we're going to get into all of that and just get into, you know, some general schedule specific thoughts that I had when first taking a look at the schedule. But before I do that, you know, just in case you did not look at it at your phone or you just want a frame of reference before I start talking about this stuff, I'll just run down the schedule real quick. The Bills 2023 regular season schedule. Oh, by the way, I'll just say their preseason schedule includes week one against Indianapolis. That's a home preseason game. And then the next two are on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears. There are no days or times on those games, but I'm not really sure that most of you care about the road preseason games. I'm sure a few of you will head to that week one preseason game against the Colts. All right, the regular season schedule. Here it is. They open up week one on the road at the New York Jets for Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers' debut should be a fun one. That was announced well in advance of the schedule release earlier today on Thursday. Week two, the Bills' home opener. They'll be taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Week three, they're on the road against the Washington Commanders. That's a regular Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Raiders game is also a Sunday at 1 o'clock for reference. Week 4, at home against the Miami Dolphins. So the Dolphins don't come up for the winter. That is a regular Sunday and will be a 1 o'clock start. And then October 8th, the Bills head to London for a, finger quotes, home game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that will be available and watchable at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then, week 6, they come home. It's not a bye week. Week 6, they come home to take on Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, and the New York Giants in a Sunday night football matchup, one that I have already termed the Day Bowl, D-A, capital B-O-W-L. I'll hashtag it, don't worry. But that one is going to be the second of the Bills' primetime games on this 17-game slate. After that, week 7, They'll be heading to New England to take on the Patriots for a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff. Then they come home for Thursday night football, their third primetime game of the year, and they'll be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. Then they get a bit of an extended break before they head to Cincinnati in week 9 to take on the Cincinnati Bengals, another primetime game on Sunday night football. Week 10, they'll be coming back home for their third straight primetime game of this little stretch, their fifth total of the first 10 games, and they'll be taking on the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football. After that, a shorter week against the New York Jets, where that will be at home. That'll be a 4:25 start. Then week 12, they'll be taking on the Eagles on the road at 4:25. Week 13, they get their bye week, so late bye this year. Week 14, at the Chiefs, which is also a 4:25 start. Week 15, home against the Cowboys on December 17th. Again, that's a Sunday. That'll be a 4:25 start. Week 16, they head out to the LA Chargers, and that's going to be a Saturday game on December 23rd. So it does not interrupt the holidays, except if you're traveling there for Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, things like that. And they'll be taking on the Chargers. That's 8 p.m., so that's another primetime game, technically speaking. So that's 6 on the year. Week 17, come back home against the New England Patriots. Against the Patriots at home, 1 o'clock start on a Sunday there. And then week 18, it'll be at the Dolphins. To be determined whether that's January 6th or January 7th by the league, and we don't have a time on that just yet. So there is the schedule in full. And of course, a lot to take into it. So just to get into some of my initial thoughts on what this schedule kind of presents, you know, in terms of overall schedule and tough travel, this isn't a bad one. Like, we've seen in years past where they have had some awful week to week turnover from, you know, being on the road on a Thursday night game or something like that, and then or to be on the road and flip around and be on the road for a Thursday night game, or be home, flip around for on the road for a Thursday night game, you know, away for a Monday night game and then be away the next weekend. So this one is pretty conducive outside of all of the random times they're going to be playing. Like, there's only 5 1 o'clock games on this schedule as it stands right now. That's 3 of their first 4. Then the Patriots on October 22nd. And then week 17 against the Patriots again. Everything else is 4:25 or later. Well, also 9:30 a.m. There's one of those in there, so that's not really a normal one. But the age-old Sunday at 1 o'clock, not really all that much. So yeah, we'll have to see exactly when they'll be playing the Dolphins to see if that gets thrown onto the 1 o'clock mix. But yeah, the Bills are in demand, but not a tough travel schedule. They have a late bye week, which I'm sure they just absolutely love, because, you know, later in this, that's one of the latest bye weeks you can have. The latest possible bye week is week 14 in the NFL. So getting it week 13, and, you know, when they are probably really going to need it. At that point in the year, it's early December. At that point, they're probably getting a little sick of each other. It's just, I mean, you're with the same people, same teammates for like a 5-6 month stretch. You know, a week break at the start of December to get you ready for the final push towards the playoffs is got to be a welcome thing, rather than an early on break. So they do not have the bye week right after the London game. I don't know if that was their choice, but I'm sure they're welcoming the bye week being this late this year. And like I said, they don't really have that crazy 1 week to the next 2 week stretch where it's just crazy travel. You know, whether it be going West Coast and then, you know, going back on the road after that, it's pretty solid for them. The worst one of those are probably getting home from New England and then having a short week to be at home against Tampa on Thursday night in late October. But even that, like, the flight back from New England is not a long one. They'll be back before midnight, probably even before 10 p.m. because it's a 1 o'clock game. And so they'll be, you know, probably have a full night of sleep as long as they can wind down and then get going for work and getting ready for a Thursday night game on that Monday. So not a terrible one. Like, you're going to have to deal with a Thursday night game, but that one isn't horrible. It's at least they're not coming back from LA in that game and then heading to or being home for that Thursday night game. So that's not a huge consideration. And yeah, it's just a really quick flight from New England. So that's not bad. Maybe the other one that you could throw in there is a short week traveling to the West Coast to play the Chargers, where it goes from week 15 against the Cowboys at home to week 16 to go to LA. But even that, that they still have a bit of a break because it's a later start on that week 16 Saturday night game. So, like I said, not horrible by any stretch of the imagination. They've got a lot of breaks in there. Like the Buccaneers game, which is a Thursday night game, that leads into a pivotal away game against the Bengals, so they'll get some extra rest there. Against the Chiefs, they're going to have the bye week the week right before that. So, yeah, it's like I said, they're shortened games for AFC. Good AFC opponents are going to be against the Jets in week 11, where they will be on a short week after Monday Night Football at home, but they'll be at home again. And then, like I said, the Chargers game after the Cowboys game. So not terrible, but you look at all the things that they have, it's got to be just, you can almost feel like the NFL cut them a break a little bit this year because of all of the emotional turmoil they went through in 2022. Like, the Thursday night game is home. Four of those six primetime games we're talking about, at home. There's no Thanksgiving Day game this year after a 3 Thanksgiving in 4 year slog. They'll be home for Thanksgiving. They avoid playing on both Christmas Eve and Christmas. So by the time they leave LA, they'll probably get back in the wee hours of the morning on Christmas Eve and be home to wake up with their families on Christmas Day. So that's a huge thing for a lot of these guys with families. And also home for New Year's. That December 31st game is home against the Patriots. So all in all, pretty conducive schedule to what they're trying to do in terms of, like, you know, just getting a nice draw. I feel like what they had last year, not even what happened, but the whole schedule last year, it was kind of crazy from 1 week to the next. So yeah, it seems like they got a break this year, which is probably good for their overall well-being and what they could do this year. All right, so let's get into some of the, I guess, breaking down exactly how it could go this year. Like, not gonna predict the games. It's a little early for that. It's May 11th. Rookie minicamp begins tomorrow. So still a lot to be learned as we're going through this point. Like, you know, how does the offense, you know, get used to life with maybe more 2 tight end sets with Dalton Kincaid, different pieces to throw to? How does Ken Dorsey react from last year? How do the Bills defense, how do they look without Tremaine Edmonds? How do they look without Von Miller potentially to the beginning of the year? So a lot of stuff that still needs to be decided. But in terms of, like, matching up what teams should probably good and where the strengths and weaknesses of the schedule line up, this is where I'm kind of looking at the schedule. And it opens up with a really tough draw. Don't get me wrong here. At the Jets on Monday Night Football would be difficult enough in any week because, you know, Aaron Rodgers always kind of steps up his game on these primetime games. And the Jets have a really tough defense that gave the Bills problems last year, which I'll get into some of those stats in a minute here. But that would be tough in a primetime setting on the road at any point. But week one, on Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers' debut with the Jets. And at this point, after the Packers basically said, all right, we're done. And Rodgers himself said, okay, I'm done with the Packers. There's going to be a bit of a prove everybody wrong element to Aaron Rodgers that game. So the Bills are going to have their work cut out for them. And not to mention, MetLife Stadium is going to be absolutely insane for that game, I would imagine. I mean, just think about it. Think about the quarterbacks that the Jets have had over the past 14 years. Like, their last notable, I suppose you can throw Mark Sanchez in there in the 1 year where they really pushed forward and they thought they had something in him, but, you know, he wound up not being what they hoped he would be. But it's really been since Brett Favre in 2008, I think it was, where the Jets have had a worthwhile top-tier starter as their quarterback. And you can even argue back then, Favre just, he was done by that point. So it's been a while for the Jets. They have waited for a quarterback like this. And even though Rodgers is in the late stages of his career, and even though he mulled retirement before he went to his darkness retreat, like, by the way, that's an actual sentence that I just said. I never thought I would have said mulled retirement before he went on his darkness retreat on my podcast. But hello, here we are, May 11th. Nice to meet you. So the Jets and their fans are going to be, yeah, it's going to be a crazy environment. And then when you throw that factor onto it, and they do have some really good offensive firepower. You know, we'll have to see if Breece Hall will be ready for that game, but Garrett Wilson is a stud receiver. We saw him do really well against the Bills last year. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is there. They have a pretty deep backfield, even if Breece Hall isn't ready, like guys like Zonovan Knight, guys like Michael Carter. They drafted Israel Abanikanda from Pitt in the fifth round. So they're going to have some dudes who can play. It's just a matter, but Breece Hall is like a game breaker type. They brought in a lot of, or some friends of Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard. You know, Randall Cobb is in the mix. Seems like their offensive line is getting a little improved here. So, and then when you combine that all with the defense and how well they played the Bills last year, I mean, just listen to these stats from, or these splits between how the Bills did against the Jets versus how the Bills did the rest of the season. So in the 14 games that the Bills did not play the Jets in the regular season, they averaged 29.8 points, so almost 30 points a game, and 415 yards per game. Against the Jets and Robert Saleh's really good defense and what they've been building there, which was still young last year, by the way, the Bills only scored 37 points total, which is only 7 points more than the Bills' average against every other opponent last year. Their yardage in two games had an average of 274.5 yards. And if you forgot the other statistic, the other 14 games, the Bills averaged 415 yards per game. And against the Jets, that went down by almost 150 yards. That is a wild split. The Jets' defense is legit. So that's going to be a really tough opener. And I would not be surprised if the Bills start their season 0-1, just based on all of the different factors. Of course, you know, the Jets have to be the same defense as they were last year. And overall, with defenses, it's difficult to project from year to year. But you look at just all the talent that they have in all three levels, and even some star players too on their defense. They absolutely have a really good team. I'm expecting the Jets to be in the playoffs this year. If they're not, it's going to be a humongous disappointment. I think the Jets can contend for the AFC East this year, but we'll get to that. Just a really tough draw for the Bills in week one, but national spotlight, and we do know Josh Allen does pick it up and when he's in a national setting. So we shall see how that goes against that Jets defense. And, you know, the Bills do have the element of surprise, too, because maybe the Jets are expecting one thing from the Bills, and it's their debut of having Dalton Kincaid on their roster, Deonte Hardy on their roster, you know, using Khalil Shakir maybe a bit more, having Damian Harris on the team. They do have a lot of different offensive skill players that could change things up for the Jets from what they're expecting. So should be a pretty good game. So that week one game, obviously very difficult. I believe so. If the last 7 minutes of the podcast didn't really stress that enough. But the next seven games, I think, is based on what we know now about these teams. I believe it is a humongous opportunity for the Bills to do the majority of their regular season damage with, in terms of racking up wins. I mean, I'll just go down the list here. Home against the Raiders, at the Commanders, home against the Dolphins, London against the Jaguars, home against the Giants, at the Patriots, home against the Buccaneers. The way that I kind of split these up is there are three should be clear victories, at least in my mind. The Raiders game, because, you know, I think they'll probably be a tougher out, but the Bills should be able to beat a Jimmy Garoppolo-led team still trying to find themselves a bit with Josh McDaniels as their head coach. And the Raiders do have some defensive deficiencies that they need to get through and try to become a better overall defense by the time the season gets going. But, you know, it's often a bit tougher in the early stages of the season. The Commanders game, they're probably going to be starting Sam Howell in that game. And Sean McDermott's defenses have done really, really well against very young quarterbacks. And I would expect that to be, it should be a clear win. And the other should be clear win, like I said, the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are in competition with the Cardinals right now, at least for me, as the worst team in the NFL. They are in a clear rebuild mode. I don't care what they say about Baker Mayfield. And this could come back to bite me. I don't really believe in Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. And their low level of commitment in free agency means they probably don't either. They've got either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask starting. To me, that sounds like a situation. They cut and traded a bunch of their veteran players as soon as Tom Brady retired. To me, this reeks of a team that is hitting the reset button hard. And it just so happens to be in a year where there's a generational quarterback talent at the end of the rainbow in Caleb Williams from USC. So that should be a clear win to me. The other section of this is tougher matchups, but Bills should still be favored to come out with a win. That group has three teams. The Jaguars in week five in London. Playoff team. You know, they have some really good offensive pieces. Their offensive line is going to take a dip this year a little bit, I think. But still, tougher game. And the Jaguars should be right in the mix for that AFC South crown again this year. The Giants, who made the playoffs last year, and the Day Bowl, mind you, yet again, D-A, capital B-O-W-L. I'll hashtag it, don't worry. On Sunday Night Football, that's going to be a really fun game just based on all the relationships and Dable coming back to Buffalo as a head coach for the first time, his hometown. Like that side of it is cool. But the Bills have a better roster than the Giants. And it's a home game, home primetime game. That should be one they probably come away with. But going to be tough, like I said. And then New England. New England always plays them, or, you know, they can play them tough from time to time. Sometimes the Bills just absolutely paced them, but it's at New England, so that makes it a little bit tougher in my mind. And Bill Belichick is still a good coach, even though, you know, he might not have as much talent on his roster as he once did.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And then the final section is the toughest of the bunch, and that's at home against Miami week 4. Obviously, the Dolphins, I think, are the best team of that bunch that I just mentioned of that 7-game stretch. If they lose that game, wouldn't be surprised. If they win that game, wouldn't be surprised. I think it's closer to a coin flip than the rest. But I would not be shocked out of those 7 games I just mentioned after week 1 if the Bills, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that they rip off 7 in a row. Probably won't happen. But it isn't a clear opportunity. I think at worst they should go 5-2 if they want to get to where they want to get to and be able to win the division this year. You know, 6-1 would also be an acceptable run through that 7-game stretch as they are trying to get into a position where they have some advantages heading into the playoffs. But it's almost as though they might have to do a near sweep or a sweep of those 7 games if they want to be in contention for that first round bye, because after week 9, it gets real for the Bills. Like it is quite the slog through the final 9 games of the season. No joke. You know, it's probably a good thing that they get extra time to prepare for the Bengals, because from that point forward, whew, that is a stretch of games. At the Bengals, Sunday Night Football. And we know the Bills have had their problems with the Bengals in the playoffs. And even in that early part of the regular season game last year, the Bengals offense was giving the Bills defense a lot of problems. And the Bills offense wasn't able to, you know, perform at the level that everyone had grown accustomed to them. And Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, kind of had the Bills' number. But my big question about the Bengals is, can the Bills actually solve, or not solve, the Bengals' offense, but can they at least slow them down a bit more? And can they do so without Tremaine Edmonds on the field? By that time of the season, they potentially could have Von Miller back. That would be November 5th. I mean, if we're going through this thought experiment here, if you're the Bills, like, you know, I personally don't know where Von Miller's recovery is, and I don't think that they want to put a timetable on it either, because it's still relatively early. I mean, it is May. And every rehab from a torn ACL is different. All those things considered. If they want to be on the safe side, they could shut him down for those first 8 weeks, especially with a lot of winnable games. Then when you get to week 9 against the Bengals and you need some quick pressure against Burrow, because Burrow is one of the best, well, last year was one of the best. This year he could be the best now that Tom Brady is retired, at getting the ball out quickly in under 2.3 seconds. Bills are going to need a lot more instant pressure, and that's where Von Miller could help. So maybe that could be a target week. Who knows? But that's something that has to give for them, because the Bengals put so much stress on the opposition because they spread you out with Chase and Higgins. They have Boyd in the slot. And by spreading you out, they have a worthwhile running game, because if you commit to trying to thwart that aspect, it's kind of how the Bills struggled against the Chiefs like 3 or 4 years ago in the regular season, where they tried one thing and just didn't work. So maybe Sean McDermott has more answers this time around, but that's going to be one of those games where he kind of, like, maybe he's preparing in the offseason to come up with some game plan to be able to execute against the Bengals that maybe they hadn't thought of last year. Because they need to do something, because they have struggled to slow them down. From there, you know, they've got the Broncos at home on Monday Night Football. Not, like, of those final 9 games, probably either their, finger quotes, easiest or second easiest game. But don't count out, like, it might be a 1 week reprieve and it's a home primetime game, but, you know, Sean Payton is in Denver. He's probably going to make it a tougher out than we think. Wouldn't be surprised if by that point in the year, Russell Wilson could be benched. You know, just throwing it out there. Maybe not. Didn't really play well last year. We do know that. And the Broncos did invest pretty heavily in a backup quarterback in Jarrett Stidham, who actually, like, not to say he was good or great or anything late in the season for the Raiders last year after they benched Derek Carr, but he's at least moving the ball around a bit. Would not be surprised if by that point in the year that Stidham might be the starter. Who knows? But either way, Sean Payton, he does have a way of making his teams a tough out even when they are not there fully from a talent perspective. I don't think it's going to be a one-year flip for this Denver team, but you know, they do have some pieces. Then home against the Jets, at the Eagles. Like, those are two tough games. Like, at the defending NFC champion Eagles, difficult. You get your bye week and then come back at the Chiefs, also difficult, even though the Bills have won their last two in the regular season against the Chiefs. But, you know, Kansas City is Kansas City. And the Bills have been a bit fortunate that they have played early regular season Kansas City as opposed to late regular season Kansas City. So it might be a bit of a different Chiefs team they play. It's always the ultimate barometer for this Bills team. Even though they have won their last two regular season games in Kansas City, they have not, since Sean McDermott arrived, moved on in the playoffs further in a single year than the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been trying to beat the final level of the video game. They didn't even get to the final level last year, and that was part of the disappointing part with them being the Super Bowl favorites last year. So that late year Kansas City on the road in December, Going to be an electric atmosphere. Going to be really cool. But it's going to be a tough one. Then at home against the Cowboys. Cowboys went 12-5 last year. Probably going to be good again this year. Maybe one of the, if you want to call it weird, good teams from 2022. But they should be fine. I think they should be in the playoff mix again this year. Then at the Chargers. We've been waiting for the Chargers to make this ascent into legitimate AFC contender with Justin Herbert as their franchise quarterback. And I'm not ruling it out this year. By that point in the year, the Chargers could be one of the best teams in the AFC. And that would be another dynamite game down the stretch and another tough one for the Bills. Then home against the Patriots. I think they should be able to win that one. Then at the Dolphins to end things. Like this, like I said, those nine games, you've got seven games right there where I'm like, okay, that's a coin flip. Bengals, Jets, Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins. At Dolphins, by the way. Five of those games I just mentioned are on the road. Bengals, Eagles, Chiefs, Chargers, Dolphins. They got to do their damage early on is my main point I'm getting at here. Because it's when they're going against the majority of those NFC opponents. Commanders, the Buccaneers, the Giants even. They get those three, I guess, easier. Giants are not easy, not an easy opponent, but, you know, I think they are more beatable in a primetime setting at home than, say, the Eagles on the road in late November. So that's why I'm thinking that first eight games is pivotal for this Bills team. Because if they wind up going 4-4 through those first eight games, it's going to be tough. Like they, I don't know, based on their final games, they're going to have to win a lot of tough games against a lot of tough teams if they want to win their division with a 4-4 start. If they want to contend for that bye week, be the one seed, heck, even be the two or three seed, they need to they need to run a lot of those first eight games. And then if they, let's say they go 7-1 or 6-2 in that stretch. If they go 5-, let's say they start 7-1 and go 5-4 the rest of the way. That puts them at 12-5. And that's right in the mix for that 1, 2, maybe 3 seed. They start 5-3 and go 5-4. That's a 10-7 record. So I can't stress that enough. That first part, it's going to be a lot, especially if they want to win the division, let alone the top seed in the AFC. Because the AFC East this year might just be the toughest division in the entire NFL. The way that I'm looking at this is I think the Bills should sweep New England this year, just because I think the talent gap is there between those two franchises. But New England does play a lot of people tough. They'll probably nickel and dime to like a 8-9 or 9-8 record or something like that. I don't think they're going to bottom out. But the Jets got a lot better. The Dolphins got incrementally better. And the Dolphins made the playoffs last year. They would have been a tough out had they not had all their injuries. And they already were a tough out, you know, for a kind of an emotionally spent Bills team. I've referenced that before, and I continue to believe that because they were only a couple weeks removed from the DeMar Hamlin thing. But, you know, still a tough out. They played really hard that game, the Dolphins. I would not be surprised if the three top teams in the AFC East, the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets, based on the Bills' difficult end-of-season schedule, I would not be surprised if this division is decided by one game. Potentially, even as late as the Bills and Dolphins playing each other in Week 18 with the winner winning the division and thereby winning a home game to begin the playoffs. And as we know, the Bills' approach toward a Super Bowl would be increasingly more difficult if they do not go through Buffalo in any way, shape, or form. If they wind up, let's say, the 5 seed, have to go on the road the first game, the only way that they could get a home game would be if all three road teams upset their first round opponent. So the 2, 3, and 4 seed would all have to go down for in order for the Bills to get a divisional round home game. So the stakes are huge in every single one of those AFC East games. And they might start off the year 0-1 because, that, like I said, that's a tough draw against the Jets. Week 1, first game with Rodgers, first game with a legit quarterback in a decade and a half probably, maybe even longer. Probably longer. So yeah, this is not going to be an easy one for the Bills. But on the flip side, on the upside, not a lot of like travel strain, but man, that late season, late 9 games is going to be a fun one to cover, no doubt, and fun one to watch from a neutral perspective. But every week it's going to be somebody new. And, you know, some of these games could look legitimately different by the time the Bills get to them because they are late season games. There could be injuries. It happens every year where you think this potential great team is going to be on the schedule in this huge game late in the season and the quarterback gets hurt, and then all of a sudden it should be a cakewalk for you by the time you get to it. So that could happen. So while I'm building up this final 9 games, you know, that's a legit possibility. But the earlier in the season you are, I mean, it's logic, right? Like, the earlier in the season you are, the fewer injuries league-wide there's going to be. So it would be even if injuries happen down to the teams down the stretch, you still want to maximize a good winning window before you even get to that point. That way you put yourself, and maybe you get some luck, maybe right back in the first round bye consideration. So yeah, a lot of things to consider, but the Bills have their schedule. This much we know. And if you want some of my quick hitting thoughts on the schedule, I've covered a lot of it in this, but just some quick hitting stuff. You can head over to The Athletic, see the schedule in full. Like I said, 6 primetime games. There are more primetime games than 1 o'clock games this year. It's wild. You know, me covering this Bills team in circa, I don't know, let's go with 2012? No, let's just go with 2010 because that was the real bottom out year. I've been like, wait, how many primetime games? I got very comfortable back then with a routine, 1 p.m. every single week. You knew it was like clockwork on Sunday. But the Bills are a different team. They're a different franchise now, and they are a ratings monster, which is why they are all over the primetime board. They are going to London. They are having almost as many 4:25 starts as 1 p.m. starts. And the 4:25 games are more highly visible for the teams that play in them, because a lot of times they're pretty good teams, or they're on the West Coast. But if you're an East Coast team playing at 4:25 against another East Coast team, it means you're doing something right. The Bills have four straight of those near the end of the year. All right. So that's my schedule breakdown. The next thing up for the Bills will be rookie minicamp, which begins tomorrow, Friday, May 12th. I'll have a breakdown of that practice, including some thoughts on how some of those draft picks are looking and things like that. OTAs begin not next week, but the week after. So we'll get to see our first practice with the full roster, or those, because it is voluntary, those who do show up for those workouts. It'll be the first of 3 weeks of the OTAs. And then that leads up to the mandatory minicamp in mid-June, in which us as media members will be able to see all of the practices that they have available for that. And that leads up to the big long break between the end of mandatory minicamp. We call it summer vacation in NFL world, because it's kind of funny. Like, you see the players immediately after mandatory minicamp, they kind of run to the locker room, get out of there. It's the only thing I can liken it to is when you're in grade school and you hit that end of day, you go through all your final stuff with your teacher, and then you just book like hell to the bus and get on there. And it's very much like that. So that's the break between that and the beginning of camp in late July, and that's when it all starts. So that's what we have ahead of us. And I'll be talking to you more as we go along here. I'll catch up with you after the first OTA session that we'll see. So that'll be, in about a week and a half, maybe a little bit more. All right. So thanks everyone for listening to this, my full Bills 2023 regular season schedule breakdown. All of this could very well change based on injuries as the season goes along, but it is always fun to think about the possibility. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. My name is Joe Biscaglia. You've been listening to The Buffalo Beat, and we will talk to you next time. See you then.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.